Aloha! You are listening to Inside the Desert Oasis Room, episode number 65. This episode is sponsored by Tandawai Rum. Established in the Philippines in 1854, Tandawai is one of the world's largest rum producers and winner of over 170 international medals in the past four decades, including Brand of the Year in London's World Branding Awards Rum category from 2015 to 2017 and Rum Brand Champion of the World by thespiritsbusiness.com in 2015. As sponsor of the Inside the Desert Oasis Room podcast and the toast to Master Ninja Ray Buen at the legendary Tiki Tea in Los Angeles, California, Tandawai is the perfect companion to celebrate all things tiki. For more information, check out their webpage at tandawaiusa.com or follow them on Facebook or Instagram at tandawaiusa. This podcast is also sponsored by the Tonga Hut. Opened in 1958, the Tonga Hut in North Hollywood is LA's oldest continuously run tiki bar. With locations in both North Hollywood and Palm Springs, California, the Tonga Hut serves classic tiki cocktails in a classic tiki setting. Dine in a secret tiki hideaway or learn about rum and rum history at one of their educational seminars. And if you're up to the challenge, take the journey to join the Loyal Order of Drooling Bastards. For information on events, Rum Club, and more, go to TongaHut.com or find them on Facebook or Instagram. This podcast is also sponsored by the Royal Hawaiian. Founded in Laguna Beach, California in 1947, the Royal Hawaiian is South Orange County's premier tropical drink and dining destination. Come try their signature cocktail, the Lapu Lapu, a delicious combination of tropical fruit juices with a generous float of dark spirits. Or other island-inspired favorites like ahi tuna poke or the dynamite crab-crusted mahi mahi. Enjoy their delicious brunch or drop in for happy hour from 2:30 to 5:30 p.m. daily for drink specials and more. To make a reservation, visit royalhawaiianlb.com. On this first episode for 2018, we speak with Angelica Navarro, host and writer of the Adventures in Tiki blog. We discuss the roots and authenticity of Polynesian pop, her introduction to the tiki lifestyle, and get into some fun banter about Tex-Mex and other southern foods. As always, I hope you enjoy listening to this episode as much as we did recording it for you. If you enjoyed this episode, I'd like to invite you to subscribe to the podcast. It's free, and it will make it easier for you to enjoy future episodes as they're delivered to you automatically. Shares on your social media pages are always appreciated, and if you'd like to support the show, please stop by DesertOasisRoom.com and click on the donate button. Every donation, no matter the size, helps keep this podcast coming to you every week. Okay, jump in the car with us on our ride to Palm Springs. Here we go. Thanks for joining the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
For our listeners that are wondering what that background noise is, we are in a car on our way to Palm Springs.
Oh, yes, yes.
Being escorted by the indelible John Okanishi. John O.
Yes, and our lovely co-pilot Summer Etter.
Lovely, beautiful, gracious, all of those things. And we're enjoying a beautiful Southern California winter day. What does your temperature say there, Jono?
71 degrees.
I see 73 degrees on the dashboard. Whoa. 73. 73 degrees, day after Christmas. Did you get everything that you wanted for Christmas?
You know what? Actually, yes, I did. I got a set of Bose Quiet Comfort noise-canceling headphones.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, my boyfriend decided that I needed something to help block out all the noise on the airplane. He said, well, you complain about it so much, so I went ahead and got you a set.
Did you try them already?
I did. I tried them on my flight. And, okay, so you know the heartwarming YouTube videos where people have implants put in and they hear for the first time?
Right.
Mine was the opposite.
Oh, wait a second.
So mine was the complete opposite. So,
okay.
I turned on the little noise-canceling switch on my headphones, and all of a sudden I couldn't hear squat, and I'm like, this is the greatest thing ever.
So here's the thing about using really good headphones, because I would edit with really good headphones. And I'd pick up all of these different things that bothered me about the audio.
Uh-huh.
And I would work so hard to try to eliminate certain noises and try to get things EQ'd properly. And then I learned that you know, most people listen to the podcast on their phone, right?
Yes,
or,
actually.
Or computer speakers or something like that.
I listen to it on my phone. What I do is I download it to my phone, and then I put in my my earbuds, and then I go out for my hour-long walk on the trail outside my home, and I listen to your podcast while I'm walking.
Oh, okay, awesome. So, does my voice remind you of any specific walking path?
No, not really. Not really.
like when we talk, it doesn't remind you of like the river walk or something, or like the track at the high school.
No.
Because, you know, like there's certain music that I really enjoy listening to. Like when I go to Hawaii, I enjoy listening to Hawaiian reggae, which I know most people don't like. At least most of my friends don't like. But I enjoy it because it reminds me of being in Hawaii.
Right.
But now I listen to it so much that whenever I hear it, it doesn't remind me of Hawaii. It reminds me of the gym. Because that's where I listen to it most, right? I play it in my earbuds. And every time I hear like a really cool Hawaiian reggae song, I think of a weight stack or I think of a treadmill.
You think, do I need to do 10 more reps or 20 more reps?
I know. I'm always trying to negotiate with myself once I'm there.
Oh, God, I hate that.
Right. Somehow, though, I make it through.
Well, I'll tell you what. I have had some interesting moments listening to the podcast on my walks, because I'll be walking down and all of a sudden either you or whoever it is that you're talking to will say something funny, and then I start laughing, and then I see the people walking on the opposite side of me and they're looking at me, what is she laughing at?
Well, that's good to know.
So I've had my moments where I have to stifle laughter because somebody said something funny and I'm supposed to be, you know, walking and exercising, but it keeps my mind off the fact that I'm actually exercising, so yeah. I like that.
Yeah, cool. Well, I'm glad that I can help.
Yes. Inside the Desert Oasis, we're making exercise better for everyone.
For everyone. Killing commutes one episode at a time.
Right. Yes. And I have to, actually, I also told my boyfriend when he was driving down to, I think it was Austin or San Antonio, I said, you've got to queue up all of these podcast episodes and you've got to listen to them. So that's what he did. And, He really enjoyed the Jeff Berry one, and that was one of my favorites,
that's
too.
That's one of my favorite episodes. That was a really good episode.
Yeah, he's a great historian. It's just a lot of laughs and a lot of information, and
he's
a
good storyteller, right?
Yes. Oh, my gosh, yes. Yeah.
I think that comes from his background in TV and movies, you know, writing stories. So, and you know, being a published author doesn't hurt, you know, because...
Oh, definitely not. Definitely not.
You have to have a skill to convey that stuff in an interesting way.
Oh, right? I agree. I absolutely agree.
Yeah, yeah. So for our listeners that don't know, you run the Adventures in Tiki blog.
I do. It was a venture I started about a year ago this time. I thought, you know, I have a lot of really fun tiki experiences. I travel a lot to go to places and explore. I thought, why not write about it?
You know? Now, before we go into that, I want to talk about how you got into tiki. I've been told that that's an interesting story.
It is, in a way, actually. It started back about 2008. I was seeing someone who recommended that we go meet up at Trader Vic's in Dallas. And this was at an old... a former Hilton hotel, and when I went in, I remember thinking, oh my God, what did I just walk into? It's just so far removed from anything that Texas could offer you, and we had many countless hours sitting in the bar, drinking all sorts of wonderful drinks, zombies and Mai Tais, and back then this menu had Mai Tais made with different liquors, which was really weird and kind of interesting, but good. And I fell in love with the vibe, the atmosphere, the decor, the feeling that I was not in Dallas. I was somewhere on some tropical island having a cocktail, and then unfortunately a pipe burst in their restaurant, and they were supposed to only be temporarily closed. They shut down completely, and I was so heartbroken.
That happened with the Trader Vic's up in Portland. They were only supposed to be closed temporarily for repairs, because there was a fire.
Oh, gosh.
And they ended up deciding not to reopen it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, that was a heartbreaker for me.
How long was it open?
It was open, gosh, I want to say it was open starting in about 2002,
okay.
Maybe. Don't quote me on that. And then shut down, I think, about 2000, maybe 2009, 2010.
Yeah, so not very long.
So it was not open very long. But it, you know, the short time that I spent going there almost on a weekly basis at one point was enough to make me just absolutely fall in love with it. And after it disappeared, there was nothing left in Dallas to take its place. So, you know, my love of tiki kind of went dormant for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And it popped back up in about 2015 when I took a solo trip out to L.A., decided on a whim to drive into Palm Springs for the day, and then discovered that they had tiki bars. And I'm like, oh, all right.
Really?
I should go. So I discovered a bootlegger tiki that day and the Tonga Hut in Palm Springs. And then all of a sudden, it was like those old memories just came flooding back to me. All of a sudden, I was on a tropical island again with a drink in my hand, friendly, you know, people, the vibe. It was all there.
What would you say is the one factor? Was it the escapism?
Oh, absolutely.
Was it the drinks?
It was the escapism.
It was the escapism, okay.
Because
so the drinks were really, like, secondary.
Yes. And frankly, for me, tiki has always been about the escapism. It's been about the vibe, the feeling, the atmosphere. The drinks are great, but if you are drinking, you know, fantastic tiki cocktails and the place has a horrible vibe, well, you're not going to go back.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And,
well, I guess it depends on what the building really looks like.
Right.
Because, you know, the Bahuka, I don't know if you'd ever seen the Bahuka.
No, I didn't, unfortunately.
The Bahuka was really, really an amazing space, but the drinks and the food were marginal at best, you know. But, I mean, I like to go there just because it really had that, you know, that away kind of, you're in this kind of fantasy world.
Right.
Feeling, you know.
Escapism.
Yeah, escapism. Yeah, totally.
As a matter of fact, at my work, my tag on my desk has my name, and then right below it, it has my job title, and then / escapism specialist.
Oh, that's cool. So, let me ask you then, you know, every time I see you, you're in aloha wear, and of course, all we talk about is tiki, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
This obviously changed your life.
Oh, yes. Yes. Yes, it did. So I could not be happier. Because I've met so many wonderful new people. I've made friends in the tiki world that I would consider family at this point.
Okay.
And I really believe that it's kind of led me into a different direction that I didn't think I would ever go into.
So when you started the blog, was this a way for you to just kind of start documenting the things that you were doing, or was it a way for you to express the things that you were learning about?
It started out with me just kind of chronicling my experiences at different places that I visited, but I decided to kind of branch out a little bit and offer some of my own thoughts on, you know, on certain things.
Okay.
Like what makes tiki, you know, so great. What is tiki? What is not tiki? You know, kind of delve into other topics that were tiki related, but did not actually necessarily have to do with what I did or what I drank or who I met at the latest tiki bar I went to. So it's a mixture of both, and I'd like to kind of keep it that way.
Do you feel that there's a responsibility to keep things kind of true? You know, as far as there's kind of a, you know, a new movement of, there's a bending of the rules, it seems, in the past couple years about,
yes,
what is true, authentic Polynesian pop style tiki, which I know authentic is kind of an oxymoron when you consider that, you know, authentic mainland tiki, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of an oxymoron when you consider that it's just a mainland interpretation of what real tropical, You know what I'm saying? Like island lifestyle kind of thing.
Yes. Well, the thing is, I think what people perhaps may not know, I mean, it's something you have to kind of delve into, is that tiki is more or less the whole Polynesian pop thing is what Americans thought that it was like on the islands back in the mid-century. And that, I think that piece is what's missing from people's consciousness when they, you know, when they're opening a tiki bar, when they're talking about tiki, when just in many things I've read and in places I've gone to, people I've talked to, I think that is the major piece that's missing. It's not supposed to be quote unquote authentic. It really never was authentic.
Right.
But Polypop has its own authenticity.
Polypop has its own authenticity. I guess what I'm trying to say is that, you know, like with the podcast, I feel that now that, you know, the podcast is something that is, you know, it streams in 96 countries, so it has a very wide reach.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that there's a responsibility for me to try to preserve the authenticity of Polynesian pop, because tiki has grown so big that it's becoming a victim of its own success, just like it did back in the 70s, you know, that history is completely repeating itself, you know, devolution is happening all over again, and I feel like it would be a shame to see it devolve now, especially considering that we know its roots, that now we know, you know, its whole story, its whole timeline. We're back in the 70s, it wasn't really ever looked at in that way, you know, so it's naturally going to devolve.
I agree, and I'm witnessing that myself. There's a suburb in Dallas called Plano, and there's a place up there that was supposed to open sometime soon, and you know, I heard people talking about it. Oh, there's a new tiki bar that's going to open up. And, you know, I took a look at some pictures before their opening, and there wasn't a single tiki anywhere to be found in the bar. So, of course, my first question is, why are these guys calling themselves a tiki bar? They don't have any tikis in there. Now, they have lovely tropical decor. I will give them that. The drinks look tasty. But it's not a tiki bar. It's a tropical bar. So there is a difference, and I think that sometimes that gets kind of lost, and you're right, that's a product of de-evolution.
Right. Well, you know, like this past Christmas, I was having a drink with my sister's boyfriend, and he was wearing this suit that had Santas and Christmas trees and candy canes and stuff all over it, right? It was he was being kooky, basically.
Right.
And he said, "We need to get you one of these for next year." He goes, "Actually, we should get you one that's got flamingos on it." And I said, "No." And he said, "Why not? Flamingos?" He goes, "That's exactly like part of what you like, all that tiki stuff." And I said, "No, flamingos aren't tiki." And he said, "Why are they not tiki?" And I said, "Because there are no flamingos in the South Pacific." And then he said, "But there are flamingos all over Florida, and there's tiki bars all over Florida." And I said, "Actually, no. There aren't tiki bars all over Florida. There's only one that really matters out there, and it's in Fort Lauderdale. It's the Maikai. And other than that, they're really..." And he said, "Well, then explain to me, you know, what's going on then." So he actually, you know, he had an open mind about it, right? So I explained to him the whole cheeky hut theory that, well, there were cheeky huts that were really more of a Native American thing. Mm-hmm. And, of course, they were built with natural materials. And as tiki devolved, people started calling those tiki huts. And that's why if you look at Florida tiki, they believe that anything that's made with thatch and, you know, even like tree trunks, right? Because that's what they use to frame these bars.
Right.
They think that it's a tiki bar. They call it a tiki bar. I think that they've just kind of confused it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no tikis in sight, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, when we get into these arguments sometimes online, there's sometimes a resistance with people that say, "Oh, come on, man, lighten up." You know, tiki is a state of mind. Well, you know, it kind of really rubs me the wrong way, because I'm a purist. I'm proud to call myself a purist. And when people when they try to knock me down for being a purist, I try to say, well, look, you know, if people weren't passionate about anything, if everything was about relax, then everything would just be half-assed. There would be nothing that would be done authentically and nothing that would be done well. There would be no excellence in anything.
Right.
You know? So, anyway, I'll get off my soapbox now.
No, but I completely understand where you're coming from, because when you're, you know, as you said, you know, Polypop has its own authenticity, just like, for example, Native American culture, like, you know, going back to kind of what you said there, I remember there was a backlash some time ago about, you know, people wearing Indian headdresses to Coachella or, you know, stuff like that. And, people were saying, well, you're being insensitive. You're being culturally insensitive. Well, cultural insensitivity can also happen in Polynesian pop. Even though, yes, it is an American-made creation, but nonetheless, it is a creation that is worthy of preservation in and of itself.
Sure. Now, what I find ironic is that you have people that will argue what is and isn't Star Wars, right? Jar Jar Binks is not real Star Wars, or whatever, right? So these are the same people that will argue with me that their Chewbacca mug is a tiki mug.
Oh, Lord.
Because it looks like a tiki mug, right? Because it was made to look like that style of drink vessel, right?
Yes, yes.
But if there's no tiki in it.
Nope.
These are the same people that will argue, like, what is and isn't Star Wars will say, lighten up about the Chewbacca mug. It's tiki, right? It's all in your head.
No, it's not. It's not a tiki mug. It is a character mug.
Sure. It's a character mug. I'd buy that. It's a themed item. It's a Chewbacca mug. It's a Star Wars mug, right? So I don't understand that how people don't get that we don't call a tequila bar a whiskey bar. And if you ask them why, they say, well, because there's no whiskey in it. Okay, well, then why would you call that a tiki bar if there's no tiki in it? Right? There's some kind of disconnect there. I don't know what it is. But let's change topics. I want to talk about what we were talking about earlier. We had a couple of drinks before we got in the car. You were telling me about tiki in Texas.
Yes. We have a little bit. Houston has a fantastic tiki bar called the Lalo. Shout out to my buddies there who serve wonderful drinks. their bartenders, the first time I walked in there, their bartenders were so wonderful to me. They're just so warm and welcoming, and I remember I was not in a very good state of mind when I walked in there. I was very, very sad and feeling kind of lonely, and they really made my evening. Well, you know, many months later when I took my my boyfriend there for his birthday, all the same bar staff was there, and they've all been there. None of the original staff that I met has left. They love working there. They love their patrons. They love their job. It's just wonderful.
That's a testament to what they do and the passion to make the environment enjoyable for the guests, right? Because the bar industry has very high turnover. So if you're going back there months later and they're still there, what does that say about the way that the establishment's being run, right? I haven't heard anything negative about the Lalo ever.
It's fantastic. If you ever find yourself down in Texas, I will drive down from Dallas to meet you there.
Now, how far away is it from Dallas?
About 3 hours.
Have they talked about ever opening a second location, maybe closer to the Dallas metro area?
I haven't heard of them doing that, although that's a great question for when I go back. I think, Dallas would welcome them with open arms, because we still don't have a true tiki bar in Dallas, which is sad. You know, we have so much wonderful history of tiki bars. We have, Ports of Call was there at the Sheraton Hotel. We had a Don the Beachcomber. We had a Trader Vic's.
It's such a large metropolitan area that I would expect that there would be at least a couple of them, right? But there's nothing.
No.
Nothing at all.
No. The only
one just opened recently, or is there one coming recently?
No. There was a place that opened up, but it's really not really a tiki bar. I'd say more of a nightclub masquerading as a tiki bar, if I could put it that way. Yeah, it was very sad. I gave them a chance, and it was just it was not good, so I didn't go back. So no, if I want tiki in Texas, I'll either go to the Lalo or go visit my buddy Mark over at Howie's Tiki in Spring, Texas, which is just outside Houston.
Now, I've heard of Howie's Tiki because I believe they have mugs, right?
They do. They have a wonderful volcano mug with a little vessel for your 151, which is really cool.
Okay.
And if for any of you that are allergic to nuts, that's a place you can get a Mai Tai because the owner makes his orgeat with no almond, but it tastes just like almonds and it's delicious.
That's awesome. Now, I'm assuming that he didn't share that secret with you.
Oh, absolutely not. I did ask, you know, nicely, but
yeah.
He's like, that's a secret. I said, fair enough.
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, I've said before, I'm one of these guys that I don't have to know the secret. I prefer not to know the secret. If there's a secret, if I'm not supposed to know something, it's better that I don't know. I don't care to know, you know? And in a lot of ways, in my opinion, it takes away from the magic, you know, of, you know, whatever it is about a specific drink or a specific place, you know, it's like a magic trick, right?
Yeah.
If you know how it's done, it's just not so special anymore.
Right. Well, and also you want to keep people coming back to witness the magic.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how tiki bars stay alive, and we need them to stay alive.
Now, when you write your blog, what is your process on that? Is it just like when something strikes you, you decide I'm going to write an article about this? Or do you actually have an agenda?
I don't really go in with an agenda. If there's a place that I haven't talked about previously, I will usually, you know, kind of earmark that, you know, for a post. But I don't go in with any kind of ideas as to, well, first I'm going to talk about this and then I'm going to talk about that. You know, it just kind of all evolves as I write. You know, I have pretty bad writer's block sometimes. So I look at my photos and I almost kind of let them tell the story. And then I write according to the photographs I've taken.
Is there anything that you've learned in this process from the blog?
I think I've really, besides brushed up on my writing skills, I've had to learn kind of how to network myself a little bit, to get more people to read and see that, you know, yes, you know, we have, some of my posts have been about tiki in Texas, and, you know, I've had people approach me and say, oh, I didn't know you guys had any tiki bars in Texas. I'm like,
right.
We absolutely do. And I've had great feedback from people about the different posts that I've made, even some of the more opinionated ones. And I've learned a lot just kind of how to get myself out there, you know, talk to people about the things that I'm passionate about in writing, which is actually for me much harder than it is to talk, you know, face to face.
Okay, so I want to try something that I haven't tried before.
Okay.
And this just came to mind, so I'm just throwing this out there.
Okay.
So I want to try to do a speed round with you.
Oh. Oh my gosh.
Okay, so this is all on a whim right now. I don't have any notes. I haven't really even thought about this, but there are a few things that I thought would kind of be fun to get to know you a little bit better.
So, all right.
Steak or chicken?
Chicken.
Mai Tai or zombie?
Mai Tai.
Trader Vic's or Don the Beachcomber?
Trader Vic's.
Hawaii or California?
Well, I haven't been to Hawaii,
oh,
so
I
cannot
say. That was a trick
say.
Question because I knew you were going to pick California because because of us.
Well, I know all of you in this car, and I love you all very dearly. I mean, I have some people waiting for me in Hawaii to host me and to show me around, which is awesome.
Now, I can't believe you've never been to Hawaii as a tiki person.
No.
Has that never been on your to-do list? Or
it is on my to-do list. Absolutely, it is on my to-do list. It's just, unfortunately, I hadn't had A, the money, and B, the vacation time at work. And now that I have I have a corporate job where I have a little bit more leeway with taking time off, it is very much on my radar. I do plan on making that happen within the next year.
Okay, so if you go to Hawaii, where would you start?
Oh, I'd want somebody to take me to where I can get the best Kona coffee.
Okay, but I mean like Oahu, Kauai, Maui, Big Island.
Probably Oahu.
Okay. Now, there's a few things tiki there now. So there's always been La Mariana, and mm-hmm. then there's a new spot. I can't remember what the name of the new spot was. What's the name of the new spot? It's in a food court.
Oh. Summer knows. Summer, what's it called?
The Minor
Bird. Minor Bird. That's it. Minor
Bird. Okay, Minor Bird.
Have you been there, Summer?
I went there just the other day, as a matter of fact.
Oh, just the other day?
Yes, I just got back from Hawaii on the 24th.
Oh, how cool.
That was great.
We should give Summer a mic. Okay, she's waving us off. All right. So Minor Bird, there's La Mariana,
mm-hmm.
There's House Without a Key, and which I guess is at one time used to have the best Mai Tai on the island, but I think you can get the best Mai Tai now at, you know, some of the other spots. You know, the thing about the growth of craft cocktails. I don't know how that came out. Crack cocktails.
Depends on where you go, I suppose.
The thing with the growth of craft cocktails is that you can go almost anywhere now and find a decent drink, where it used to be the opposite.
Yes.
Where it was impossible to find a decent drink, right? And now even in Hawaii, they're starting to understand that the Mai Tai is not from Hawaii. Because there's this, you know, for many years there was this, I don't know, like understanding or assumption that the Mai Tai came from the islands. But it came from Oakland, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so even in Hawaii, you know, I remember arguing with somebody and she wanted to do, there was something that she wanted to do, and we started arguing about, you know, oh, she wanted to do shots. And I said, no, we're on a crawl. We should do Mai Tais or something. And I can't even remember how this came up, but then she started to challenge me about the Mai Tai and the origins of the Mai Tai. And no, the Mai Tai is from Hawaii. And I said, no, it's not. It's not from Hawaii. And she was very insistent. She's from Hawaii, and she was very insistent about it. And, you know, this is one of those times when you're trying to educate somebody who's really, like, unaware of the whole Polynesian pop and tiki and, you know, craft cocktail origins. They can kind of get really passionate about telling you that you're wrong, right? So it's just a different animal now in Hawaii. And you know that they have a Don the Beachcomber. It's on the Big Island in Kona.
Okay.
And it's its own thing. It's not part of the Don the Beachcomber chain, right? So neither is the one out here. I mean, the one out here is really a Don the Beachcomber in name only. It wasn't opened by Don the Beachcomber. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm not going to get into that, but, you know, you know the history of that, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So, Hawaii, I mean, like, you know, one of these days you got to find your way over there.
I will. I'm sure I will. That it's going to happen. I just need to find the find a good time frame to go and get myself out there, because I'd love to see it. I want to go hiking out there. I want to visit some of the museums out there. Definitely want to go to the beach. So there's lots of things I would love to do, and there will be a post about that when those get done.
This episode is brought to you in part by Steadfast Pomade. Steadfast Pomade is a strong-holding, medium-bodied, water-based styling product for men and women, which leaves your hair looking slick, neat, and shiny with a clean, fresh scent. Its unique formula allows you to easily restyle your hair throughout the day and washes out with ease. Steadfast Pomade is American-made and veteran-owned. Available in original and anchor hold. Get yours today at steadfastpomade.com. Tame the waves and keep it steadfast. This episode is also sponsored by the Tiki Tea. Founded in 1961, the Tiki Tea is a family-owned and operated tropical drink bar practicing the lost art of exotic cocktail mixing. Come try their house specialty, the Ray's Mistake, a delicious concoction of botanic liqueurs, passion fruit, gin, and rum for only $6 on Wednesdays until 9 p.m. The Tiki Tea is located at 4427 Sunset Boulevard in Hollywood, California. For more information, check out their website, tiki-ti.com. The Tiki Tea, Ground Zero for tropical drinks. Are you a foodie as well?
Oh, yes.
Yeah? Are you more of a Texas foodie or tropical?
Actually,
now that you're very much a tiki person?
I have to be honest, I hate Southern food, so I'm okay. not I am not a Texas, what I would call a Texas foodie.
Were you raised in the South?
Yes, actually.
And you hate Southern food?
Yes, I do. But okay. I'm a native of Mexico City. I was not born in Texas. I arrived in Texas when I was 4. So, you know, my mom raised me on, you know, her Mexican food. And then eventually when I got sick of that, it was just eating nothing but Kraft mac and cheese for years. And and then I finally...
And this is not like Kraft cocktails. No. Not Kraft like it was crafted mac and cheese. Not like mac and cheese that had hot dogs in
Blue
it.
Box.
Or chicken cubes. Or... Or, no. You know, anything fancy like bacon.
Oh, no, nothing fancy for me.
This is Kraft like with a K Kraft.
Give me the blue box. The blue box. That is what it was all about for me. I had poor taste. eventually, though, I learned how to eat, you know, vegetables and, you know, other delicious things. And the reason why I say I would consider myself a foodie, even though I don't like Southern food, is because in Dallas there is an abundance of wonderful places to eat that don't serve Southern food. There's places that serve really good Italian. There's the Mexican food is wonderful. I mean,
okay. So I want to talk about that. Okay. So you're talking about Mexican food. You're talking about Tex-Mex. You're talking about authentic Mexican food.
Both.
Okay. Now I grew up in Southern California.
Mm-hmm.
And I love my Southern California Mexican food. And I have been, I've been to Texas many times and I've had the Tex-Mex. And I'm like, all righty, what is this shit?
Oh, no, you didn't.
Summer's giving me a thumbs up.
Summer's breaking my heart over here. Hey, okay.
Maybe someone took me to the McDonald's of Tex-Mex. You know what I mean? Like, a place that just doesn't have quality Tex-Mex. That sounds like an oxymoron to me, too. But it just was not what I'm accustomed to with Mexican food.
Well, no, here's the thing. If you are going to a Tex-Mex restaurant expecting Mexican food, there's your first mistake. Because it's not Mexican food. It was never intended to be that. And any place that says they serve Mexican food and they're serving Tex-Mex food, run away as fast as you can. That is not the deal. Tex-Mex is its own beast.
Is it its interpretation of Mexican food?
Yes, absolutely.
Because that's what the Tex is in the Tex-Mex?
Okay. Mm-hmm, absolutely. It's sort of like a... I wouldn't exactly call it fusion, but an interpretation, yes, I would definitely call it that. And I personally enjoy Tex-Mex food when it's done right.
What's done right with Tex-Mex food? What do you like?
Well, there's one place that I love and has my heart, and that's Chuy's. And that's based out of Austin. They have various chains.
Is that the same Chuy's that we have Chuy's out here in Southern California?
Do you know?
That's Mexican food.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Well, we had a whole chain of them, but I don't see them much anymore. And it was, I wouldn't say it was authentic Mexican food. It was kind of like El Torito-style Mexican food, you know? It wasn't Tex-Mex. It was a California interpretation, I guess you could say.
I wonder if it's the same one. We'll have to compare notes.
We'll have to look at the logo.
Yeah.
Because you would recognize it, right?
Yes. So. Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so Chuy's Tex-Mex, you were saying.
I am a fan of Chuy's Tex-Mex. For any of you Texas listeners out there, if you want to hate on me, go ahead. I love Chuy's. Get over yourselves.
So I say that, like, look, we talked earlier, right? We don't all get along, right? That's the way the world works.
Absolutely.
If people don't like me, like you're like you said, if you want to hate on me, go ahead.
But again, you know, being a Mexican by birth, you know, I love good Mexican food too. You know, my mom makes.
I love how you say, you know, that good Mexican food is. You said it as though it was different from Chuy's. I love good Mexican food too, other than Chuy's.
Yeah, because the key word there is Mexican. Tex-Mex is not Mexican.
Okay, now, one of the things that I like about Texas as far as food is concerned that has never happened in California, which I don't know why this has never happened in California, is you go to these places where you can, you know, like, for example, in Austin, there's a place called Rudy's. Rudy's Barbecue. Do you have those in Texas, in Dallas?
Yes.
So I love Rudy's, right? Uh-huh. You order brisket by the pound. You order, you know, all these different meats that have been prepared in different ways. And they basically serve it on, you know, in a giant tray with a loaf of bread. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do.
And, geez, I want to say like corn on the cob and all that kind of stuff. There's no good barbecue out here in California, at least not Texas barbecue that I know of. And just because I've said that, people are going to start replying that, you know, oh, you don't know about this place. And oh, yeah, I've been going here for a long time. Are you so stupid you don't know?
But, Adrian's got haters.
Yeah, I do, but it's all good. If you want to hate me,
go ahead.
They wouldn't be listening to my show anyway if they hated me, but right? Or maybe, I don't know. So, but I think the closest one that I've seen is Dickie's.
Okay, yeah, and Dickie's is a chain. Those are all over Texas,
right? Mm-hmm. The last time I was in Texas, I was in Austin, and I remember eating at a place called Salt Lake Barbecue.
Oh yes, that's famous.
And it was okay. I mean, it was good. Mm-hmm. It was okay, but I really liked Rudy's.
Uh-huh.
And Rudy's was, it had a gas station in front of it, attached to it, right? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It's like a gas station market, you know? It's a country store.
Yeah.
With picnic tables in it.
Yeah.
And what's the other one? There was another one in downtown Austin. Real popular place that used to be a blacksmith shop.
Oh, I wouldn't know. I don't spend a whole lot of time in Austin, so... Okay. It would be hard for me to say, but that whole thing about it being attached to a gas station, I'm not surprised. Lately, it just seems like there's more and more of that in certain areas. I know at least in Dallas, there was a place that served Mexican street tacos.
Do they do that because it's kind of like a cool thing?
I think it's like convenient.
It's because it's convenient. You know, the other thing they do in Austin is that they take an Airstream trailer. And they turn that into some kind of a
pop-up shop.
A pop-up diner of some sort.
Yeah,
you know, with tables outside.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell that it's kind of, they do it because it's cool looking, you know?
Yeah.
Doesn't mean they serve good food.
Yeah.
Right?
The food truck thing is huge in Austin. Absolutely huge.
So, because I liken, what I say to Stephanie, every time I go to Hawaii, one of the things that I want to do is I want to go get poke at Foodland.
Uh-huh.
And I want to get spam musubi at the local gas station. Because that's like what the stuff that the locals eat, it just tastes better to me, right?
Mm-hmm.
The spam musubi from there, you know what I'm getting at, right? So like it's kind of like the kind of hole in the wall thing.
Yeah.
You know? And then the other thing that they do in Texas that I wonder why I never ever took off out here is... There are restaurants all over the place where you pick your meat out of a refrigerator and you grill it yourself. There's only one place I know of out here that does that.
Where's that?
It's the Venice Room.
The Venice Room.
Yeah. And I know that place because of John O.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I drove by it for decades, not knowing about that.
Here's a question I have for you. Is there a lot of cattle ranching out here in California?
Not really. There are dairy farms. I don't know where the meat comes from. Is that true? That's true.
I'm just musing. I could be totally off, but I wonder if maybe, you know, the reason why some of these places that you're talking about don't exist here in California as much is because, well, Texas in particular, the South is huge on cattle ranching. You know, the meat's always really fresh, and it's very, very accessible. You know, you don't have to really deal with the costs of importation or, you know, the meat not being as high quality. Because, I mean, it's right there. You've got like a jillion local ranchers and local farmers, you know, at the ready for you.
Well, let me ask you this then. What about sushi? Is sushi big in Texas? I can tell by looking at your face, the answer's no.
Not terribly. Well, then again, you're asking me. I don't really eat sushi very often. It's rare for me to do it just because I live in Texas.
I'm not discrediting your theory about the cattle ranching and the accessibility to more meats.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like my father-in-law. He says, he's like, I love going to Vegas. They have the freshest seafood there. And I was thinking, it's in the middle of the desert. You know, like, what do you mean they have the freshest seafood there? It comes from somewhere else. It's only fresher when it's, you know, right out of the boat, right? Mm-hmm. Or if you're living in a coastal community where there are fishing boats that come in all the time, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know where the meats come from out here.
Yeah.
It might be coming from out of state. I don't know.
Be getting some from Texas.
Yeah,
who knows?
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, we're wandering now.
We're going off. We're venturing off into foodie land.
Before we wrap up, what is the future of Adventures in Tiki?
The future, hopefully, will hold some expansion. I'd like to kind of expand my audience a little bit. And I've toyed with the idea of perhaps doing like an audio broadcast of some kind, although I'm still on the fence about it. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping that as I learn more myself to share my knowledge with others, I want to continue doing it and making it bigger, and you know, perhaps even someday being able to design a logo and you know really get it and push it out
there. Wait, there's no logo on there?
No, there isn't. Unfortunately, I'm not a graphic designer.
I didn't even notice, to be honest with you. I didn't notice.
Oh, gosh.
Thanks for pointing that out.
Adrian's like, lame sauce. You don't have a logo. No.
Let me tell you the story of my logo. So a friend of mine, he's a graphic designer.
Uh-huh.
And he just slapped it together real quick so that he could etch it on a couple of flasks as a birthday gift.
Oh.
So he made this logo real quick, etched it on a pair of flasks, and put it on the gift box and gave it to me as a birthday gift. And I started the podcast on a whim, and I didn't have a logo for it. And so I said, hey, can you send me a file of that logo that you made? And he said, sure. And I said, is it all right if I use it on my podcast? Because like I just started this thing and I don't have a logo. And that's what I've been using ever since. So.
Oh, that's really cool, though. Yeah, somebody made you one.
Well, he's all excited because, you know, the podcast has gotten some legs, right? And it's as I mentioned earlier, it's streaming all over the world. So he's like, oh, my logo's playing and, you know, here and there. And he sees it on T-shirts and all these other things. And he's real excited about that. You know?
Oh, so, that's awesome.
Yeah. So for our listeners that want to check out your blog, let's give them the address.
Absolutely. It's adventuresintiki.com. And please reach out to me if you have any burning thoughts, any questions, if you want to. If you want to hate on me for what we were talking about earlier, if you want to flame me, you have a place to find me. I love meeting people. I love getting new readers. So thank you so much to everyone that has shown me support, and thank you, Adrian, for having me on as a guest.
You're welcome. I'll always support Adventures in Tiki. I enjoy reading the blog. I just wish that you released more content, like more, I mean, you know, like it's sometimes it could be a little bit of time between when you release content, and you know,
it's kind of been a rough year.
I just want to read more of it.
So it's been a little bit of a rough year, but I'm hoping to kind of ramp it up in 2018 with more content. And of course, as I travel more, the more I travel, the more I can write. So,
okay. All right. So adventuresintiki.com. And if you guys have any questions, comments, or just want to leave a shout out, check us out on Facebook. We have an Inside the Desert Oasis Room group page there. And if you have any questions or you have any shout outs, you want to hate on me too, you can go to the group page and you can put it there. And if I like it, I'll approve the post.
And if he doesn't like it, na-na-na-na.
I'm just kidding. You know, I love you guys. Thanks for supporting the show. I appreciate everything for my listeners. They really helped me out when I needed it most. And so you know, I do feel very blessed and very lucky to be in the position that I'm in. Thank you again, everybody, for listening. Thank you, Angelica, for being on the show. Thank you, John, for driving us out here. John O and Summer, thank you for joining us today in the background. Say hi.
Hello, and thank you.
And we'll catch you guys on the next episode. Cheers and aloha.
Aloha.